We have two stories here of a kind of a trance that people go into that's rather fearful. Abraham is having this conversation with God, and God is promising him descendants and land, probably the two things most important to Abraham. And Abraham says, how can I be assured that this is going to happen? And so the Lord enters into a covenant with him. But it takes a particular shape. Covenants in those days were often done in this way. They would cut up animals and hang them on a line, and then each one of the partners in the treaty would pass in between the animals and let them kind of smear blood all over them, which was a way of saying, let this happen to me if I don't keep my part of the bargain. Let me be cut up and hung on a line. My blood shed. It's like little kids saying, cross my heart and hope to die. You know, it's the same idea. May I die if I don't keep my part of the bargain. Interestingly, God, in the form of a smoking brazier, passes through the animal parts, but Abraham is not asked to do so, because God is saying, I'm the one making this covenant. I'm saying to you, may I die if you don't get this land and if you don't get these descendants. Powerful thing. But all of that happens just as Abraham is falling into a deep sleep and into a kind of a trance, and he's very fearful. Okay, in the gospel, another spiritual, transcendent kind of experience happens to Peter, James, and John, and a cloud comes and envelops them, and they become very afraid. What they're seeing here is a kind of a contemplative experience. They are seeing, and in kind of prayerful moment with Christ, in a way that they don't normally see things. When you go into a religious trance, when you go into a contemplative mode of praying, you open yourself up somewhat fearfully to revelations that God may give you that you weren't expecting. God is always leading us somewhere that we don't want to go. God is always offering us a future, and the thing that's fearful about the future is we don't know the way. Remember also in the gospel, Thomas says to Jesus, how can we follow you, Lord? We don't know where you're going. And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. You have to follow me. And so Jesus, in this contemplative experience that he gives them of his transfigured body, raised in glory, you know, it's a kind of a prefiguring of what's going to happen to him. He's going to have to suffer and die at the hands of the chief priests and elders, be dead for 3 days, and then rise again. And in his glorified body, many won't even recognize him. Mary Magdalene sees him at the tomb. She mistakes him for the gardener, because his glorified body is somehow different from his normal body as Jesus of Nazareth. And we are going to be transfigured like that. We're going to have a transfigured, glorified body after the fashion of his glorified body. But that's all future, and we don't know the way. We don't know what that's going to look like. And so it's a little bit fearful for us. We face into life's difficulties, and from time to time we get afraid because we don't know the way. The future is always unknown. Now that's symbolized by the whole Exodus story in the Old Testament. They're living in Egypt in abject slavery. It's a kind of a walking death. They're alive, but it's not a real life. But they learn to be comfortable with it. They learn to deal with it. And so then God, through Moses, yanks them out of that experience through an even deeper death in the Red Sea and out into a lifelong wandering in the wilderness before they get to the Promised Land. And they grumble all the way because they're afraid, because they don't know the way, because they don't know the final resolution of this thing. they are us. This life, this world, is a lifelong wandering in a wilderness that we call the earth, that is on the way to the promised land of the kingdom, but it's always future. It's always unknown. And in the same way that Abraham wandered all over the Near East for his whole life and did not know where it was going to end, so do we. Some of you were born and raised here in Manhattan, but many of you were not. And life led you away to school, perhaps, away to a job, and maybe to several transitions in your job. Some of you are Army, and so you've been all over the world, maybe, and ended up in Manhattan. Who knew that you would end up in Kansas? Some of you are involved in university. Who knew that you were going to end up in Manhattan, Kansas? Or maybe you have another transition yet to go before life ends. Life is always unknown, and it's surprising. But there's great joy and life experience in each place we transition through and in the place we end up. But even if Manhattan is your last stop in this life, it's not the last stop for eternity. An eternity with God, with a transfigured, glorified body like the risen Lord's, that's our final destiny. And God, for all our lives, has been promising us that. I give you this land. I give you this life that lasts forever. For Abraham, it was descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Because in those days, they didn't believe in a bodily resurrection, and so long life was lived through your descendants. But God is not offering us descendants. He's offering us eternal life. Not to live on in somebody else's life, but to live on in our own life and in our own body, which will be glorified, transfigured like the sun's.